Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Romans, Romans the 8th chapter, starting in verse 12 through verse 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of God for the people of God. I entitled the sermon today, Looking Forward to Real Freedom. One of the things that we talk about a lot in this country is freedom. Freedom, the ability to do what we want, the ability to live our lives in the way that we choose, that's what we consider freedom to be. But even so, in this country, our freedom is dependent on many things. We have rules and regulations called laws that we have to live by. There are societal standards that we have to live by. You can push both if you want, but there's always something that you have to give even when you push. You know, you can drive your car 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour. The state of Pennsylvania will gladly make you lighter if they catch you, because that's one of the rules. You can do what you want. So we need to understand what real freedom means. What freedom really is. Freedom is not the ability or the right to do anything you want to do. The freedom that Paul is talking about here when he writes to the church at Rome is a freedom of not being controlled by sin or fear any longer. It's a true freedom. It's a freedom that says we can live within this society and we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about what's going on in our world because our freedom doesn't come from something somebody has given us or something that we have earned. Our freedom comes from God releasing us from the power that sin holds over us. That freedom means that there is nothing in this world that we should be afraid of. Nothing in this world that should give us fear. That doesn't mean that we should just go around and do anything. What it means is that we shouldn't be afraid of anything. We shouldn't let fear control us. One of the things I see in society right now is that people are afraid. And when you take God out of everything, and people don't have an understanding that their freedom comes from God, then they are in control. And when you think you're in control, that's when you truly learn what fear is. Because what you come to understand is you can't control anything. You can't control what's going on out in the world. You can't control the sicknesses and the diseases that are going around. You can't control anything. Now, you know I like science. I enjoy science. But if you're going to depend on science to keep you from being afraid, you're going to have problems. Because as we understand science today, it's still, we don't understand all of it. Remember when I was in the Navy and we were working, studying nuclear power, all of us would put a little square on our desk and then draw a little button on it. Because there are times when you're studying that kind of stuff that you just have to push that button and say, okay, I believe it. Don't understand it, but I believe it. And sometimes that's what our lives in God need to be like. I don't understand why God is doing what he's doing, but I believe he's God. I believe he's still in charge. I believe that I don't have anything to worry about. Because no matter what happens in my life, it's not going to change who God is. And it's not going to change that I'm God's child. Specifically, I am God's son, adopted by God. And that's an important thing for us to understand. This is not about being male or female. This is about being adopted and giving full heirship. You get to receive everything. You are a full heir of God, a son. Now, you can worry about that it's sonship and not daughters. But that's the way it was in the day that this was written. So we need to understand it from that perspective. What Paul is saying is that we receive the ability to have everything from God. God's peace, God's comfort, God's mind, God's direction, and most of all, God's salvation. That's where freedom comes from. When we come to understand that God has given us everything that we could possibly need in this world. Now, there are people who are striving with hunger and places to live and all of those things. Those are physical things. And yes, they're a struggle. And we who have more, I hope, desire to help those who have less. But freedom comes even in the midst of those situations when you can say, I may not have much, but I'm God's child. I in my life have gone through times where I didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. I remember grabbing my gun and going out into the woods and saying, God, you better provide something today because we just don't have anything left in the house. I was a young boy, a teenager. My mom had cancer. My dad was working as much as he could to take care of things, and there just wasn't anybody shopping. It wasn't that we didn't have the ability to buy food. It's just that we didn't have food. And I walked out into the woods, saw a partridge, and thought, okay, I shot, walked over, and I'd hit three of them. Hey, supper is provided. in one shot. God provides. That may sound like an insignificant story, but to me it reminds me God provides. God has provided for me and my family over and over and over again. Not because we're better than anybody else, not because we're smarter than anybody else, but because we're his children. And that's what we need to remember in this difficult time. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. It's going to always go on. Paul tells us here that even the world is groaning under the weight of sin. The idea that you think that we're going to be able to get rid of this virus is absolutely crazy. It's not going to happen. The only time this virus will go away was when Jesus Christ comes back for us. We may stop this virus and slow it down, but there'll be another one. There'll be another thing that goes on. There'll be times when there's famine. There'll be times when there is plenty. That is always going to be the case. And the world needs to understand that that's because of our choice of sin over God. It's not going to change. We're not going to stop global warming, whether you believe in it or not. We're not going to change it. We're not going to stop this virus. We're not going to stop anything. I'm not trying to scare people or sound gloomy, but the reality is that our freedom, our hope, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, do not come from the world. It never will. Our hope comes from God. And that knowing that no matter what happens in our life, God is always going to be there for us. God is always going to guide us and direct us. Yes, we should do what we can to protect ourselves and provide for ourselves. Yes, we should strive to be safe for other people. But we must never fear. We must never be afraid. Because in these situations, when it seems like life is almost impossible, and we just can't figure out how to do anything, is when God shows up in his greatest power. For when we are weak, he is strong. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to run and hide from. For God is still here. God continues to guide and direct us. And we are God's sons, heirs with Jesus Christ together in the kingdom of God. One day, we will all die. And our hope, our joy, is that when we die, we go to be with Jesus. I like what Paul says when he says, I can't decide what's better, whether to stay here and continue in ministry or to go and be with Jesus. I know which is better. But God has called us to be here. God has called us to be in ministry in this place, in this time. We have hope. Our hope is in God. Our faith is in God. And when we have faith and we have hope, we should have no fear. For God is awesome. Amen.